want to say happy Thanksgiving to all of you. I know Thanksgiving is past, this was, as I was been perusing through a little bit of Facebook, some of my friends have commented on how this was the Thanksgiving that they had not planned. It was not what we had desired for Thanksgiving. But as I was listening to them or reading what they were saying to me, I noticed that there was a common thread through it, which is this is not Thanksgiving that we planned, but it is a good time to give thanks. And so even though it wasn't what we planned, it's still a time to give thanks. And so what I decided to do this morning was to do just that, to take you to a psalm. Psalm 138, if you got your Bibles with me or you have your phones, you can turn there to this particular psalm. This is a psalm of David. So David is the king of Israel at this time. It's the golden time for Israel. It's the time when they really had the greatest movement as a nation. And David was a man after God's own heart, even though he had a few slip-ups in his life. He's a man who was a worshiper, and he wrote over half of the Psalms, and this happens to be one of them, Psalm 38. And as you come into this psalm, as we read through it here in a minute, you're going to find that David hasn't got everything going today. And so we are looking at our lives, and we're saying, you know, this is not the Thanksgiving we wanted. This is not really the life we really wanted. In fact, most of us would say we wish this thing would just go away and let's go back to where we were. And who knows if that's ever going to happen. But we are not the first people in this earth to have had to walk through things we didn't like and that they didn't go away. And David is one of those. You would think that as the king of Israel, he'd have everything together and he was going down the right track. But as we get into this psalm, you're going to see that trouble surrounded him. He had enemies that were angry with him, and they wanted to take him down. And so as he's moving through these things, he's thinking about that. And so David is not in a place that is a perfect place. It's very similar to ours, and you're going to find out that David is a worshiper. No matter whether or not things are going good or they're going bad, he is going to worship God in those situations. And so let's read together Psalm 138. I'll read it for you if you just follow along. It says here, give thanks, I will give thanks, O Lord, with all my heart. I will sing your praises before the gods. I bow before your holy temple as I worship. I praise your name for your unfailing love and faithfulness, for your promises are backed by the honor of your name. As soon as I pray, you answer me. You encourage me by giving me strength. Every king in all the earth will thank you, Lord, for all of them will hear your words. Yes, they will sing about the Lord's ways, for the glory of the Lord is very great. Though the Lord is great, he cares for the humble, but he keeps his distance from the proud. Though I am surrounded by troubles, you will protect me from the anger of my enemies. You reach out your hand, and the power of your right hand saves me. The Lord will work out his plan for my life, for your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. Don't abandon me, for you made me. So there are three sections to this psalm. There are three parts to the psalm, and you heard them. There was kind of a pause between each one of them. And the first one, he is actually talking to us, and he's saying, God is worthy of your thanksgiving. Now, notice here, he starts off, he says, I give you thanks, O Lord. And so, in a very personal way, David is saying, this is me, this is my heart before the Lord. I give thanks to you, God, with all my heart. And so, one of the things I notice here is that thanksgiving is an act of worship. So, we think that worship is singing. And I would say to you, that's part of worship. Part of worship is prayer. Part of worship is reading the scriptures. But part of worship is publicly saying thanks to God for what he has done in our lives. And so David is saying, I give you thanks, O Lord. Now I want you to notice here that the O Lord, this is the term for Yahweh. This is the term for God Almighty in the scriptures. The only God, okay? And then he says, I will sing your praises before the gods, small g. And when I first read this, I thought, why is the psalmist saying, I will sing your praises before the small g? Like there's a chorus of people who are a chorus of gods out here that he's singing the praises to. And it's not what he's saying. He's saying, I will sing Yahweh's praises to the gods, small g, of the kings who I have had victory over. See, every king had a set of gods that they served. And David served Yahweh, the only God, the righteous God. And so when he says this, he's saying, by that he's saying, I will give thanks to my God in front of the gods that I have had victory over because of my God. My God has had victory over these smaller gods. Now, he's also recognizing that there is not just, that God is the God Almighty, but there are other smaller rulers, principalities, and powers, which we see in the New Testament. And you'll notice it here. It's here that we don't only serve, we don't only work against a physical enemy or an emotional enemy, but we also have spiritual enemies in this world that are trying to take over our lives. They're trying to make it a struggle for us. This morning I brought in, because normally I have all this stuff done before I get here, but I brought my computer in. I'm coughing, and I brought my computer in up here to transfer my files onto the computers back here, and it would not work. It would not work. I had to shut the thing off three times, and that's just not like it. It always walks in here, and that's what it has to do. You know, every time that happens, I think, you know what? The gods of this earth, the gods of electronics, okay, I've taken over. And I think to myself, Lord, will you just make this thing work? And as soon as I give him praise for what's going on, you know what happens, don't you? It works. So what David is saying here is that I will sing praises. I will worship God because God is worthy of our worship. Now he goes on and he says, I will bow before your holy temple as I worship. So David literally is coming before God and he's kneeling down before God in his temple and he's worshiping God. He's bowing in humble submission to the God that he serves. And he says, I praise your name for your unfailing love, for your unfailing faithfulness. And now let's talk about those two things. His unfailing love. God's love for you and his followers and his children never, ever stops. No matter whether you've got COVID or you don't have it, whether you're struggling with some emotional or you are working through something in your life, God's love for you has not stopped. His love for you is still there. And he says his faithfulness is unfailing. It never stops. God's faithfulness, that is that God always does exactly what he says he will do, and he will accomplish it in his time. He always is on top of things. He knows exactly what's going to happen. And the reason is in the next phrase. He says, for your promises are backed by the honor of your name. So each of us have reputations, don't we? If you have a business, you may have staked your business reputation upon your name. Okay? So if you do something that's wrong, that reputation now is soiled because of whatever it is that you have done to it. Your name has been dishonored at that point. And we don't want to dishonor our names. In fact, that's one of the things that my father taught me. Don't dishonor our name, okay? So God's name is at stake here. If God doesn't do what he says he will do, then his name has been dishonored. But he is unchanging. He cannot change. He will always be faithful. He'll always be loving. He will always give you his promises and fulfill those promises because of the honor of his name. He does not want to dishonor that name. He wants to bring honor to the name of Yahweh. And so when you come to God and you reach out to God and you're thankful to God for who he is, you need to say, God, I thank you for your faithfulness because it never changes. I thank you for your love because it never changes. I thank you for your promises because they are backed by the honor of your name. And when you say those things out loud, okay, you now are worshiping God publicly before all of the gods that are around you, all of the enemies that are around you. See, God's name, God is worthy of your thanksgiving, and that's what David ends this particular section with. He says, as soon as I pray, you answer me. Do you feel that way? You see, that's God's promise. As soon as you pray, I'm gonna give you the answer to your prayer. Now, it may be a no because it's not good for you. Or it might be a wait because you need to wait because the timing is not quite right. Or it could be that God is in the business of giving it to you right now. You encourage me by giving me strength. So over the last 14 days or more, I prayed for strength. There were times I would lay in my bed at night coughing, not being able to get to sleep at night, and I would say, Lord, would you just please put me to sleep? Just give me enough strength to go to sleep. And I'd wake up later on, you know, he would put me to sleep. And I think about, as soon as you pray, you answer me. So 62 years for my parents in a home, and Dad knows it's time to make the shift to assisted living. He knows it. So he asks for two things. This is two things that he tells me. I ask God for two things. I would like a southern exposure, and I'd like to look at the church. So I want to tell you where he's at. He's over in Apple Valley. He's on the west end of Apple Valley, one of the corner apartments, and his patio doors face south, and he has a direct view of the church from there. Do you think that God answers prayers? God answers prayers. This is a 91-year-old man who has come through COVID. Okay, he survived it, folks. He has COPD, he has a new heart valve, and he survived COVID. Who are we going to praise for this? That's God Almighty who gave me my father. Okay? It's an answer to a prayer, and he has given strength to us. We can praise God for that. We can thank him for those things. Those things are extremely important. So God is worthy of our thanksgiving. Now we move into the second section, and there's a shift. And you can see the shift in how it's phrased. Every king, instead, it's not about me, it's not about God. No, it's about every king in all the earth. Give thanks to you, Lord, for all of them will hear your words. Yes, they will sing about the Lord's ways, for the glory of the Lord is very great. Though the Lord is great, he cares for the humble. He keeps his distance from the proud. Now, if you read that, you think to yourself, David, did all the kings of the time that you lived give thanks to God? And I think David would say, absolutely not. They didn't. So what's he saying? He says, there is coming a day. It's still yet to come. There is coming a day when all of the people of the earth will one day bow before the King of heaven, and they will give thanks to him, whether they are kings, presidents, senators, representatives, or just plain people. Whether they are wealthy or poor, they all are going to thank God because he is the greatest king. He's the greatest God that there is. He is the only God there is. Though the God is great, he cares for the humble. He cares for those who will humble themselves as David did, bow before the temple of God, bow before God himself and worship him as he is, for who he is. He is close to those who are humble, his children. But he keeps his distance from those who are proud. Now, you can just look at that and you can say, so look at your government, look at the world leaders, and ask yourself the question, are they humble or are they proud? I'm not going to make the determination for you, but you can answer the question yourself. If they are proud, what does it say that God does with them? He keeps his distance from them. He has social distancing. He's not giving them his face. He's not turning toward them. He's not giving them his attention. You know, does he know that they're there? Absolutely knows they're there. But he's not going to give them what they want. And yet, for the humble, he's going to care for us. Now, it doesn't say he's going to give you what you want. It says he's going to care for you. Going to care for you. All people will one day thank God for who he is. I'm grateful for that because that's a hope. That's a hope that one day all of the governments of our world will ultimately say God is the God of all things, and they're going to worship him, and they're going to do it in righteousness. And we will have a righteous government across this entire globe, but it'll be under the auspices, under the reign of King Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. That's who it's going to be reigning. And he's going to do that. In not many years from now, but he's going to bring that. So all people will one day thank God. And the last phrase, or the last section, is this one here. And this one is a very personal section. And what David is saying, I want to teach you to thank God and to trust him. He says, though I am surrounded by my troubles, amen, you will protect me from the anger of my enemies. You reach out your hand, and the power of your right hand saves me. The Lord will work out his plans for my life, for your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. Don't abandon me, for you have made me. So let's just leave that last phrase for a minute and look at the first section. It says, I'm surrounded by troubles, and yet your hand is going to reach out, and it's going to save me. So if you have a sickness or a struggle or something going on in your life, understand this. God understands that, and you need to reach out to him and thank him for that thing. And it says here, as you reach out to him and as you pray for that, he's going to reach out his hand, and he's going to draw you in, and he's going to give you a hug. He's going to reach out, and he's going to save you. Now, does that mean you're going to get well? Not necessarily. You see, salvation has a number of different ways salvation can occur in your life. It can mean that you are sick, but he is always there with you, and he's going to care for you. It can mean that you may he may take you home to be with him, and that's a saving in itself. Or he can make you better so that you can praise him for what he's done. But in each one of those scenarios, he wants you to thank him for being a faithful, loving God whose love never changes. And then David in the end says this, don't abandon me, for you have made me. Why would he say that? Because I think David is a realist. Even though he worships God like this, he understands there's a time in his life, in even maybe at the end of this psalm, when he reaches out to God and he says, oh God, even though I've just worshiped you, I've just told you all these great things about who you are, I still hurt. I still am in the throes of trouble. Please don't abandon me, for you have made me. You created me. You've made me who I am. You see, David knows that we need to give thanks. And so he worships God with thanksgiving. So I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you that before the day is out, that you will publicly, to someone, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's someone in here, in public you will say, you know, our God is great. He's been faithful to me this week. And this is how he's been faithful. And then thank God for what he's given to you. Whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. Okay? It's been kind of just a normal week. Say, Lord, thank you for a normal week. But thank him publicly for what he's doing. I was going to do this in here and pass a mic around, and I thought to myself, you know, that's probably not a great idea to do today. And then I thought, well, what if we just all stood up and shouted it out? And I thought, nobody's going to hear it. It's just too big a room, and it's just going to get lost. So what I'm going to ask you to do is to do this with people that you go out of here and just say, you know, God is really great, isn't he? And then thank him for something that's going on in your life. And share it with somebody else. Make it public. And God, as we go out, as we worship him, as we leave this place, he is actually going to be lifted up. His name will be lifted up because it's an honorable name, and we want to honor his name. So would you just bow your heads and pray with me as we finish this morning? Lord, thank you. I notice my cough is settling down, Lord. I thank you. I thank you for your loving kindness to us, that you're interested in even the intricacies of our lives, the very aspect of a cough you are concerned about. So, Father, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the answers to my prayers and to my father's prayers these last weeks. I thank you for bringing my father through this sickness. Thank you that you have brought my mom and dad back together again. And Father, it's not just about them. It's about all the people who have walked through this, not with us, but in their own lives, Lord, that we have had our share of issues in these weeks. Father, there are people who aren't here today because of the struggle that they have been having. There are people who are here who have been having deep, deep spiritual struggles, Lord. And Father, I lift that person up. I lift them up, Lord. I'm asking that you would minister your grace and your peace to them. You let them know that you're with them, that you are reaching out to them, you're drawing them close to you, that you are saving them, and you're asking them to worship you. So, Father, I pray for every person who has been struggling this week, maybe the last several weeks. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the struggle, for it deepens our faith in you. We thank you for the blessings, for we see your hand in them. You've given them to us. We thank you for normal life, because when we've lost it, we remember what we've lost. So, Father, we thank you that you have been in our past this last week. You are in our present right now. And you are in our future as we go into this week. And we thank you that your love never fails, that your faithfulness never fails, that your promises are always the same. And they're based upon the honor of your name. Yahweh, we love you. We ask that you would meet us where we're at. You would hear our praise of thanksgiving to you this day, our worship, and you would be honored by the lives of your children as we seek to live our lives for you. In Jesus' name.